Thanks, Matt. If you would, open your Bibles to John 8, chapter 8. I like Matt's song, the second one. That was, the second one he sang about the freedom. That's what we're going to be looking at today, is freedom. Fitting for the 4th of July, Freedom Weekend. We'll be looking at spiritual freedom, not national freedom or even physical freedom, but the spiritual freedom that we have in Christ, and how not just our spiritual freedom, but how God plans, He desires to use you and me and the church to get the Word of God to people's lives so that they can be free also. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to be studying Hezekiah today and how God used that man to inspire other men to engage in the battle and turn the whole face of the nation of Israel around. And we'll look at that. And that, and the intent is to inspire us from the Scripture of God's Word that He can use us, where you are today, as Hezekiah, to take your life, invest God's Word into other people's lives so that they can also be free. That's what we're going to look at today. Now, John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, "If you continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." It all comes down to the Word, my friends. It's the Word of God. If the Bible's real clear here in 31, if you continue, If ye continue, if you abide, if you stay, if you remain, if you're faithful for your life to walk in God's Word, and you don't divert from God's Word, if you don't get sidetracked from God's Word, then the Bible says, Jesus Christ says, that you are My disciples indeed. It's a lifelong process of taking God's Word and investing it into your life so you are a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there's a purpose for that. 32, it says that you shall know the truth. So you need to continue. I need to continue in God's Word so that I will know the truth. It's not just about knowing about the truth. It's knowing the truth. There's a huge difference between knowing about the Bible, knowing about God's Word, and knowing God's Word. There's a huge difference between knowing about Jesus Christ and knowing Jesus Christ. You can know all about Jesus Christ and still go to hell. You need to know Jesus Christ. You need to know His Word. Because when you know His Word, then you know Him. You cannot say, look, I have a serious, deep relationship with Jesus Christ. I know the Father. The Father and me, we commune all the time. But I don't read His Word. What? That doesn't even make sense. Try that with your wife, men. I really know my wife. No, we don't spend any time together. I never talk to her. I never listen to her. But we've got a great relationship. That's not even a relationship. You don't know God any better than you know His Word. It's just a conceived thought that you have about God if you don't know His Word. It's the truth. The truth shall make you free. And see, then what God wants to do He desires to do. His plan for us is to take His truth and invest it in other people's lives. Because if you look around, people are in captivity. People are captive by sin. They have committed some spiritual atrocity in their life. They've committed some spiritual sin in their life, and the adversary has taken them captive. They need to be set free. Christians get captive by the adversary because they walk away from God's word, because they walk away from the body, because they walk away from doing what God wants them to do, and they become captive. They need to come back to the word. They need to come back to truth. God wants to use us to get His word into people's lives so they can be free. If we're not doing that individually, if we're not doing that as a church, if that is not what we primarily focus on, is getting God's word to the souls of men and women, we really have to ask the question, what are we doing? So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at Your word today, and we focus on freedom, and we study the life of Hezekiah a little bit, and we see how You used him in the nation of Israel in a dire situation, Lord, I pray You inspire us to be the men and women that You've called us to be. I pray that You put us in a place where You can use us. I pray that You find us faithful. I pray that You find us a vessel of honor that You can use to take Your word to the lives of men and women that You've put in our path. So, Father, just with Your Holy Spirit, I pray You enable us to learn. I pray You enable us to speak. I pray, Lord, You help me speak and think clearly as I ought. Father, we love You and praise You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 24. It says this in verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. As Christians, we can be taken captive. We can be sidetracked. We can be lured away from the mission that God has for us, in all kinds of ways. And the adversary is very good at luring us away from the plan that God has for us, from the mission that we're on. Now look at this. In verse 24 it says, "And the servant of the Lord." Today there's, in right here, there are people that are free, and I'm not talking about free in a sense of salvation, though you are. And some are not, maybe, I don't know. But I'm talking about Christians. I'm talking to the Christians right here. Some Christians are completely free. They've dealt with issues in their life. They've gone through the trials and tribulations of life. They've cast off all the weight and the sin that so easily besets us. And they're free to run. And they're free to be used the way God wants to use them. And there's others that are kind of tempting around the edges with maybe throwing on some weight, or tempting around the edge with sin maybe. And so they're not completely shackled yet, but they're starting to get kind of weighted down. And then there could be, and I'm not saying there is, I don't know, I don't have any idea what's in a person's heart, but there could be a Christian sitting here today that is completely shackled by a weight, by a sin, that is unable to move in the mission that God has for him. It could be a job. It could be it doesn't matter. Anything that binds us down and stops us from the forward progress of completing the mission that God has for us, we've been deceived. We've been shackled by these things. But it says right here in 24, it says that the servant of the Lord. And that's what we have to be. We have to get free from all these things so we can be free to serve God as He intends us to serve Him. It doesn't really matter where you are, as long as you're a servant of God. That's where our focus is. That's where our heart is. That's where our life is to be a servant of Him. It says, then it goes on to say this, that we must be gentle to all men and apt to teach. Do you know why we're supposed to teach? Because it's the truth of God's word that makes people free. We are called, you're like, well, I'm not a teacher. I can't teach. Yes, you can. God saved you to teach. God saved you to take His word and disciple people. That's why He saved you. He put you on the mission field. He put you on the mission field with the sword. He put you on the mission field to get the truth of God's word to the souls of men and women so they can be made free. Whether it's a salvation or just to unshackle them from some weight and sin that has beset them. It doesn't matter how old or how young they are. People can get weighted down with this world, with the flesh, and from the devil. They need desperately God's word in their life. That is our job. That is our job. It is to take God's word, get it to people that are hurting, and see them made free. A servant of the Lord. Because you see there at the bottom, it says that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. It's the word that makes them free. Go over to 2 Chronicles chapter 29. 2 Chronicles 29. Hezekiah did not. Hezekiah was quite a guy, quite a king. And Hezekiah was not. He didn't get born, as they would say, with a silver spoon in his mouth, as far as spiritual things go. He inherited a very bad situation. Hezekiah did not walk into a kingdom that was serving God. He did not walk into a place where when he was born, everybody shouted, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Here's our next king." He didn't grow up in an environment where the temple was open and people were worshiping and the sacrifices were going on and the priests were doing what they were supposed to do. That's not the environment that he grew up in. He did not grow up in an environment where he had a father that was obedient to the will of God. That's not the way Hezekiah was brought up. Look at verse 24 in chapter 28, right before 29. And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut them into pieces the vessels of the house of God and shut up the doors of the house of the Lord. And he made the altars in every corner of Jerusalem. And in every several city of Judah, he made high places to burn incense unto other gods. This is the environment that Hezekiah was stepping into as king. And to provoke to anger the Lord God of his fathers. Hezekiah takes over the kingship with God angry at his kingdom. That is not a good way to start your first day in office. With God angry at your country. It was just Hezekiah. But you know, one man can turn that around. One man can turn that family around. One man, one obedient, God-fearing man, one obedient, God-fearing woman can turn a family around. It can turn a life around. It can turn a church around. You just take God's word and you start preaching. You just take God's word and you start preaching. You do what's right. Apt to teach. Just start making disciples of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. That's what turns people around. Turn over to, just real quick, hold your place, so we'll be right back. Just turn over to chapter 30, verse 20. Chapter 30, verse 20. This is a little bit further down the road on the timeline, but it just to kind of give us a sense of what's going on here. It says, "And the Lord hearkened unto Hezekiah and healed the people." He listened to the king. God listened to the king. That means the king was talking to God. And God healed the people. God is in the business of healing families. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God is in the business? I mean, and I'm still talking about Christians here, Christian families. And of course, He's in the business of healing lost people and redeeming them. But I'm talking about people that have gone through years of their marriage or life or anywhere along that timeline of their life, and they just find themselves destitute. They find themselves at the bottom of some whiskey bottle, or at the end of some crack pipe, or at the end of a marriage that is just so volatile they can't even go home. God is in the business of healing that thing, and He'll do it. But somebody has to take the word, step into their life. Jesus loves you. This is the truth. This is the truth. This will make you free. Hezekiah was not afraid to step into the people's ugly faces and say, "Hey, this will make you free. This will change our nation." They had turned, if we look at that, and we will, they had turned their backs and their faces against God. They had shut up the doors of the tabernacle, of the temple. They had closed up the lamp. They had closed up the book. They had closed the door of the porch. There was no judgment. There was no light in Israel anywhere. It says they had let the lamps go out. For us, it's when a Christian takes the Bible and they close it. It's when the family takes the Bible and they close it. It's when the high school student takes the Bible and they close it and they walk away from God and they follow some crazy dream the world offers to them. And they walk away from God. They completely turn their face from God and walk away. Yes, they're Christians. They're still Christians. They'll always be Christians. But they have walked away from God. Somebody needs to jump into their grill like Hezekiah and say, "You need to stop right there. Get real with God. Repent of your sin, get the truth in your life, and turn back and go back to God. He will receive you." But a servant of the Lord will do that. Will take the truth, Get in the grill of people's lives. Love on them like Jesus loves them. I love you. Jesus loves you. But you need the truth. I know this is going to hurt. I know that you're not going to be happy when I tell you, stop committing adultery. I know you're not going to be happy with me when I say, yo, Christian, lay that crack pipe down. But they got to hear the truth. It's the truth that makes them free, right? It's the truth. Go on and flip over to chapter 31. Just drop down to verse 20 and 21. 20 and 21. This is kind of a little bit further down the line. It says, and Hezekiah threw out all the land, all of Judah, and wrought, he worked, that which was good and right and truth before the Lord his God. See, his life was all summed up right there. It was all summed up right there. Good and right and truth. What does the word say about me? What does the word say about this Hezekiah? What does the word say about my work that he's called me to do? Does it say good and right and truth? Before the Lord his God. 21, in every work, not just some work, but every work, Christian, every work that he began in the service of the house of God, and in the law and in the commandments to seek his God, he did it with all his heart, and he prospered. He prospered. Is your life prospering? Is my life prospering? Hezekiah's life, man, it was prosperous. Every work. Now notice this. Every work he began in the service. He was serving where? Where was he serving? You've got to see this. He was serving in the house of God. Not his house. Not the house of company X, whatever you want to put in there. Not in the house that you create in your mind. But God's house. We are the house of God. That's what it says in the New Testament, that Christians, we are the house of God. Are you serving in the house of God? If not, where are you serving? That's what it says about his life. Every work, it was prosperous. Go back to chapter 29, if you will, please. Because of their sin, their spiritual sin, their spiritual adultery, from verses 3 to 7... And we won't go back and rehearse all those. You can read those. But it was definitely a spiritual sin because they had turned their backs on God. They didn't have any burnt offerings going on. They didn't have the incense going on. The lamps had been put out. You get to verse 8. And verse 8 says this. This is a resulting verse. Because of all their wickedness of their heart, and they had allowed the things to go wrong from verses 3 to 7. You get to verse 8 and it says, wherefore? Wherefore? The wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he hath delivered them into trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as ye see with your eyes. And we're like, oh God, why is this happening to me? Why is my life, why is God so mean to me? Wherefore? Wherefore? See, people's lives are just crumbling. It's not that God wants them to crumble. But they do because of their spiritual... I don't know. But it's our job, Christian, to be free and invest God's word into their life. Just look around. You see somebody hurting? You see your brother in the Lord hurting? Get the word of God to them. Because it says that they are in trouble, their astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes, verse 9, for lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword. This is a result of what's going on. And our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this. Because of everything that happened from 3 to 7, they're in the physical captivity because there's spiritual wickedness. These people desperately need to be made free. We get so bound up in whatever it is. I don't even know where to start with that, but we get so bound up in whatever it is in your life or my life or in the church's life or in Christianity or in the church as a whole in this age we live in. We get so bound up with materialism and games and just stuff that we're just shackled. And we can't move as a church. But man, when you get free and you get a hold of God's word and it gets a hold of you and you take it and you roll up into somebody's life like Hezekiah did, and we'll look at this just coming up in 10 and 11, and you say, hey, I love you, Jesus loves you, you need the truth. Let's get you back on track. Let's put your life back on track. Let Jesus Christ use His word and put you back on track. That's why we're here. We're to take the gospel, yes, the gospel to lost and dying people. But we have a mission. We need to edify the body. We need to grow the body. So it is a force to be dealt with, but it gets so bound up and so shackled down, like Israel in this point, we're just froze. Now look at verse 10. I'll read verse 10 and 11. Now it is in my heart, to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that His fierce wrath may be turned away from us. My sons, be not now negligent, for the Lord hath chosen you to stand before Him, to serve Him, and that ye should minister unto Him and burn incense. There's three key words here I want us to look at today. One is the word now, right now. Two is the heart. And three is negligent. Hezekiah says this. He says, right now. Right now. It's in my heart. Right now, it is in my heart to make a covenant. Right now, my sons, don't be negligent. Don't be negligent. Here's a question we have to deal with here. The heart. It's in my heart, Hezekiah says. The king could have had a lot of things in his heart. Running a kingdom is not easy, I'm sure. But in his heart, right then, he wanted to make a covenant with God. It's in my heart. Think about what he had going on. The nation of Israel had turned their backs on God. The house of God was full of filth. That's what it says. The doors were shut. They were broken. It wasn't sanctified. And God broke this man's heart. One man. It's in my heart. God is calling me to lay my life down to make a difference. That's what Jesus did. It was in his heart. He obeyed the Father. He came to this planet and saved your soul. Hezekiah says, I will put my kingship aside. I'll put everything I've got. Right now, it's in my heart to do something. I personally, that's what he says. I, my heart, singular, my heart. I'm going to make a covenant with God for you. That's what he said. For us, that's plural. He was out on the limb here, if you think about it. Hezekiah was putting his relationship with God to make a covenant. Think about it. He was making a covenant with the holy God for a nation that had let the house of God go to ruin, that had let the doors break down, that had let the house fill up with filth. And he's like, you know what? I will make a covenant with the holy God for us. So, Christian, we have a family. They're imaginary, of course, right here on the front row. But they really aren't imaginary because they're here. Teenagers, marriages, individuals that are broken, busted. And God is looking for someone to make that covenant. God, I will go. I will go to that person. I will go to that church. Remember Tony Godfrey. Tony Godfrey. He was in here and he said this. I don't know if anybody remembers that I do because it struck me like a hammer. He's like, he goes, why don't you, very personal to us. He was up in our grill that night. Very, very forceful. I like that kind of preaching. He goes, look, why don't you pray for a broken church that God will send you to and let God use you to heal that church, to fix that church, to take the word to that church. And I thought, man, why would anybody want to pray to go to a broken church? Everybody wants to go to a church because you know what they always say, find out where God's working and get there. But people don't look for broken churches. That's too much work. Making a covenant with God to go to a broken church, that God, I will go to this broken church, do whatever you want me to do to get in their grill, to bring the word of truth to them so that they can be made free so you can turn them around and impact the community with their lives. That's what Hezekiah... Do you guys remember that sermon from Tony Godfrey? Maybe God just told me that. I don't know. But he said that. I know he did. The heart. Turn over to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. God wants to use you. He wants to use me. He wants to use this church. People are in bondage of all kinds of things. Religion, works, whatever. You can just put anything in the blank there you want. But here in Ezekiel 22, God's talking and he says, well, he go, I saw it. I saw it for a man among them. I saw it for a man among them. Why? Why, God, why would you do that? Why would you seek for a man? What is it that he's seeking? Why is he looking for a man? Well, he tells us that should make up the hedge. He's looking, first of all, he's looking for a man, not a boy. Spiritually. He's looking for a man, not a boy. He's looking for an aged woman, Titus 2, a mature, humble man or woman. He is looking for a woman that'll take the Word of God, the truth, and invest it in the lives. And this is near to my heart. Invest it in the lives of teenagers, teenage girls. So that they don't become captive to all this garbage the world has to offer. The battle is on. If we do not invest in our teenagers at a young age, parents, don't leave that up to the church. That is your job. The Bible says, parents, train up your children. It doesn't say, parents, give them to the church and train them up. It says, parents, train up your children. God is looking for men and women to build that hedge around their children and protect them. He is looking for disciplers, mature, aged men and women to build a hedge around young Christians and protect them. Because if you don't, the whole thing is going to end up like it did in Hezekiah's day. That poor life is going to end up in bondage to some crack pipe or some prostitution or some game or some job or some, I don't care what you put in there, but it's not, they will not be serving in the house of God. You can put anything in there you want that will steal their service to God, that'll steal their worship for God. Now check this out. I'm seeking, he says, I sought. I sought for a man that they may make up a hedge and should stand in the gap. That's what Hezekiah did. He stood in the gap. He says, I will make a covenant with God. I will stand here in the gap. I'm one person. I'm the king. That's probably what he was thinking. He didn't say that in Scripture. But he's probably sitting in his room at night and he's probably praying. It's like, God, I am just one man. Yeah, I'm the king. But I am just one man. What in the world am I going to do? The whole nation has turned from God. And Tony Godfrey says, pray about a broken church. Why didn't he just say, why don't you be a Hezekiah? That's pretty much what he said. Why don't you man up, woman up, and be a Hezekiah? Somebody stopped me in the hallway after the first service. And he said this. He's like, you know, a lot of times I just sit around and think somebody else will do that. That's a wonderful idea to go preach the gospel. It's a wonderful idea to oh, there's somebody hurting. Somebody needs to go see that person. Well, why isn't anybody going over to talk to that person? Why isn't somebody going over to share the word with that person? God stands at the door and knocks. Yo, Jack, why don't you go? It's like Hezekiah, stand up. Stand up. Here, look, let's finish this up right here. Stand in the gap before me. Did you get that? It's not just standing in a gap somewhere. God is calling to stand in the gap before Him. That's why we don't want to stand in the gap. Think about it. A broken family, a broken life, a broken child. God says, hey, stand in the gap before a holy God. Christian, He is calling you and me to stand in the gap before a holy God. When we stand before the holy God and build this hedge up for our disciple, this young Christian that is about to get devoured by the world because they don't know any better, and we're standing in the gap, God's looking at us. We're standing before Him. You know what that means? We better be clean. We better have our life squared away. We better have our ducks in a row, as they would say, our spiritual ducks. Because how can I stand and say, you know, let me show you how to fix your marriage from the Word of God, when mine is in a heap of ruin? How can I stand between this marriage and destruction and stand before God to minister to these people when my life is so messed up, I don't even know what's going on? Or how can I say to somebody, hey, you know, if you just trust the Word, if you just take the Word and I show them how to live their life by the Word, and I haven't even opened my Bible up for 2 weeks, how could I stand before the Lord and do that? Does that make any sense to anybody? Where would that come from? As Christians, we have to be clean before God. We have to be in our Word daily if we're going to minister the Word. And one last thing here out of this verse. Check this out. It says, that I should not destroy it. See, you're standing between, the man or the woman that stands between in front of God it's their life. It's their soul. They need that. We need to stand in the gap for people. Hezekiah stood in the gap for Israel. Now, the problem was, at the end of the, I don't even know if I want to read it, but at the end of verse 30, it says this, but I found none. None. Nobody goes free. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Christians, we are called to stand in that gap. We are called to pray for people. We are called to get the word of truth to people so that they can be free, so that their life can grow, so that they'll be edified. What am I looking for? 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13 says this, watch ye. Okay, Hezekiah. Okay, Tony Godfrey, sending Hezekiah to a church when you get there in a broken, dilapidated spiritual church. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. That's the only faith that's really reliable is the faith of Jesus Christ. So we're standing in the faith of Jesus Christ. We're watching for the enemy. It says, quit you like men, grow up like men, and be strong. If you're going to, it's like, yeah, I want to be that man. I want to be that woman. I want to stand in the gap. I want to protect my disciple. I want to protect my kids. I want to fight for my marriage. I want to turn the faces back to God. I want to get the word to people. You got to be a man. You got to be a woman. An aged, strong woman. Listen, if you just got saved, praise the Lord. Just get there. Get discipled. Get with a mature believer and be obedient to God's word so it can make you free. And you can be His disciple indeed. If you're like, well, you know, I don't have time to get discipled. Well, I hate to tell you this, but you're not going to grow up. You won't be able to stand in the gap. It sounds great, but listen, if you don't get discipled, if you don't get in God's word, you are not going to grow. And you will end up in bondage. Something will weigh you down because you just won't know any better. You've got to get in God's word. Christians, we have to make sure that we get God's word to the souls of men and women. Turn over to the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Chapter 3. I'm not going to read all this. We don't have time to zip through this, but I want you to see this. Chapter 3, verse 15. Jesus is speaking here to the church. He says, I know thy works. See, this is different than what it says about Hezekiah. Somewhere on this scale, we're going to fall, Christians. Hezekiah, God records in Hezekiah, every work, it was prosperous. And that's what we want. That's what we want, isn't it? When you get to the judgment seat, don't you want that it's recorded about you that every work was prosperous? Man, he or she, they invested God's word in the lives of people and they were free. They stood in the gap. They made up the hedge. They made a covenant. They would be willing to give their own life up so people could get the word. That would be good. But here it says, I know thy works. Just lukewarm. Oh, that's bad. Church. That's bad. But there's a way out of this. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy me gold, tried in the fire. It's the word of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we...